You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view. The people who work in the prison system would have another. And I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island, to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4pm on your community radio, 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855am on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of deaths in custody and audio about asylum seekers and refugees' lived experience of trauma. This is Marissa and I will be with you for the next hour. On today's show, you will first hear from Rathi, who is a Tamil refugee and a wonderful activist who has done lots of work in regards to visa equality and helping to address violations of human rights against refugees and asylum seekers. Rathi will be a speaker at the upcoming event, Don't Let the Racist Divide Us, Building the Fight Against One Nation, organised by Unite Against Racism. I am very much looking forward to hearing Rathi's story. The event that she's speaking at is a forum at Trades Hall at 6:30 on Wednesday, the 9th of September. After that, we will bring you an interview with Lucy Honan, who is the Australian Education Union State Councillor, member of the rank and file group Fight the Crisis and Solidarity Activist, who will discuss the more broader details of the upcoming September forum. Finally, we have an interview with Rohan Simpson, senior lawyer from the Human Rights Law Centre, who will discuss the Cook government's moves to enact some of the most restrictive anti-protest laws in Australia, so-called Australia. The Public Order Legislation Amendment Bill 2026 WA, the Public Order Bill, and the Land Forces Event Special Powers Bill 2026, the Land Forces Bill, are currently before the Parliament of Western Australia and will be discussed in the context of how protesters will be impacted and the criminalisation of dissent. I would now like to introduce Rathi to the program. We had a really good chat today. And she said to me, Marissa, do I need to prepare questions? And I said, no, you don't. And this is Marissa, and you're tuned into the Doin' Time Show, and I'll be with you until 5 o'clock. I forgot to tell people who I was, but I'm sure people know who I am. But anyway, I'm going to be speaking with Rathi, and I said to her, we just want to hear your story. Because on this show, we provide a safe environment for people from non-English speaking backgrounds, First Nations people, and all people, to discuss their stories and where they're from. Hello, Rathi, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you, Marissa?
Not bad. I need some coffee. Rathi, it's so lovely to hear your voice. Would you like to tell us a little bit about you and how you came to this country and some of the work that you're doing?
First of all, thank you so much for this opportunity given to me. I'm Rathi Bartlett, from Elam Tamil refugee from Sri Lanka, and the founder of Refugee Women Action for Visa Equality. I was forced to leave Sri Lanka because of the genocide and war. I went to India. Then I came to Australia in 2013. But arriving in Australia did not mean that our struggle was over. For the more than 13 years, I lived without a secure visa and without a certainty about my future, my kids. I couldn't properly plan my life. I couldn't freely travel to see my family. So it was really hard when we are struggling with, kids. We can't make our decision what that's going to be next part. So that experience is what I led me into the refugee rights campaign. So me and other 22 women, we were walked Melbourne to Canberra in 2023, 640 kilometers. Then after that, we had a campaign in 100-day campaign in front of Docklands. It's that's why I became an activist. I always, my voice is not stopped until every refugee get a permanent residency and also they get freedom. We also refugees, we are the human beings. We have feelings, we have families, we have children. So, and our children deserve a future. So that is why I'm here today. Thank you.
That's so great that you were able to come on and tell us your story, because it's not really about preparation when you come into an interview like this. It's more about you. So mm-hmm. You came by boat here, Rathi, is that right?
Yep.
And how many years ago was that?
It happened in 2013. So it took like 15 days. So we thought when we are coming to Australia, we thought die alive. So whatever happened, we have to move somewhere. So that's why we came in a safe country, but our life was struggled for 13 years, more than 13 years. Yeah.
And you have children that came with you?
Yes. I have two girls.
Wonderful.
One child was born in India, another one was in Australia.
And your partner or as well?
Yes, we are.
Lovely. So, Rathi, do you have a permanent visa at the moment or not really?
Yes, I received my permanent visa after 13 years last year in September.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But it's not only my story, because, you know, lots of people still are left behind in limbo, so... I know some of friends, they haven't got the visa yet. So I'm happy, but some of them still waiting for their visa.
And isn't it disgusting the way the Australian government and indeed most governments are handling this whole thing?
Yeah.
So what do you think about the One Nation?
I'm speaking out against One Nation and Pauline Hanson, the politics blaming refugees and also migrant for social problems and creating fears and division. I think the refugees are not a problem because we are not to create any housing crisis or cost of living or and we should not used as a scapegoat, you know.
Exactly.
We are working very hard. My husband doing two jobs and also we are contributing so much to this community. We build our life here. We are part of the Australian society. So we don't know why the First Nations and, you know, before I talk about the First Nation, I want to talk about the Liberal and Liberals as well. So, you know, both, when it came to Australia, Labor was in power, so at that time.
Yeah.
So if they, if they can give us a permanent residency, our life is not struggling for these years, 13 years. So anyway, there's no more different I can see within One Nation or Liberal like that.
Yeah.
Because everyone, they are playing with us like a refugee's life.
Yeah.
Because we left our life and our home country, our ancestor footprints in there. We left our families and friends and everyone in our land. But we came here for our safety. But our struggle was not finished, you know.
Yeah. It's very true. And actually, Rathi, to be honest with you, I have always wanted to interview you because you are a very, very powerful speaker. I have been to quite a few rallies in the city, and the way that you speak about visa equality and about advocacy for refugees, I am so proud of you. You've done some really beautiful work, Rathi.
Well, thank you so much, because it's not my... So when I'm working those kind of things, I'm not looking like only my life. I'm looking about my community, my other communities who are struggling. You know, refugees not a created problem this world. You know, who are the billionaires? They created the problem. So I have to think about their life, their work, then everything. So that's my. This is not a big deal, I'm thinking, you know. This I feel very, very happy after, you know, when I, every, you know, nowadays I got a call from everyone. They said, I got a PR, you know. So those kind of things is make me really happy. So it's a, like, step back. Like, go forward, do something more and more. So that's why I'm here. Thank you so much,
Rathi, it's been... wonderful to have you, and I hope you haven't been too nervous coming onto the show. It was really more about you, and because I know that when you actually go and be a speaker at the September event, that, you know, you'll prepare notes and you'll do like a speech. But today wasn't about that. Today was more about your story and actually introducing you to the show.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No, I was gonna start. I thought, then, okay, when I talk to you, then I feel okay, I can manage. You know.
Of course, you can.
Yeah, English is my second language, so it's really. Sometimes I miss some words and grammars, and I know.
No. Do you know that English was my first, my second language until I was 5 years old? When I went to school, I couldn't speak English at all. It was terrible. I know exactly how you feel. Oh, my goodness. All right, Rathi, well, thank you so much for coming and sending out a cheerio to your family as well, to say hello to your family and all refugees and asylum seekers. And let's keep up the good fight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Marisa, for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Bye, Rathi.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that was Rathi, who is a Tamil refugee and a wonderful activist who does work in with visa equality issues and advocating for refugees and asylum seekers. And she came onto the show to share her story. And she's a very powerful speaker. And you can catch her at the September event. And that's organised by Unite Against Racism. And it's entitled... Don't Let the Racists Divide Us, Building the Fight Against One Nation. And it's a forum at Trades Hall at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 9th of September. There's also another event coming up, No to Racism, Put One Nation Last. And that will be a rally at the State Library at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 24th of October 2026. Listen to the following announcement, and that there'll be more about this event. And another special thank you to Rathi for coming onto the show.
One Nation is hoping to break through in the Victorian election. Anti-racists are out to stop them. Unite Against Racism has called a public forum at Trades Hall in Carlton, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 9th of September. Be there to hear great speakers and get involved. Unite Against Racism is initiated by the Refugee Action Collective, a 3CR supporter.
And you've tuned into the Doin' Time Show, and this is 3CR Community Radio. Our next interview will be with Lucy Honan, and Lucy was on our show, the Doin' Time Show, quite a few times, a few years ago now, in regards to refugees and asylum seekers. So I'm delighted to have Lucy back again. She is from the Australian Education Union State Councillor, member of the rank and file group Fight the Crisis, and solidarity activist who will discuss the more broader details of the upcoming September forum that I announced in my intro. And indeed, Rathi and I spoke about it as well from her perspective. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Marissa. It's great to be back.
It is indeed. It takes me back. So, Lucy, I was talking to Rathi, who's going to be a speaker at the September event organised by Unite Against Racism, and I believe that you will also be a speaker as well.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be on the panel. There'll be a few of us. So, Rathi, Imam Allah El-Zokum, the Imam of the mosque in Heidelberg, and Uncle James Williams, and then me, and I'll be there in my capacity as the Australian Education Union Counsellor and Fight the Crisis activist.
Okay, so can you talk us through the details of the lead up to the event? I did speak with David Glance about this prior, but I'd really like to hear a little bit more and in more detail of why is the event happening and what is it about and who is One Nation, in case people have just tuned in.
Everybody in Victoria who would be listening to 3CR would be aware that One Nation is becoming a real serious threat these elections. The fact that there was a Herald Sun news poll this morning that said they are more popular than Labor now. The fact that One Nation looks like it's a real contender for a Liberal One Nation Victorian government is, it's horrifying. This is a party that in its core is deeply racist. Its leader meets with Nazis, holds rallies with Nazis, uses racism constantly to scapegoat and blame migrants and Aboriginal people, Muslims, for all of the failings of our system and particularly the failings of the Labor government. So they are on the rise and all of us need to do exactly what we can to fight One Nation.
So this forum is at Trades Hall at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 9th of September. And there's going to be speakers coming together. So is that going to talk about building momentum to stop One Nation?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think it's important for us to get together and mobilise against One Nation and the far right. It was really important that there was a mobilisation against the March for Australia people on the weekend, for example. But we need to, we need to keep doing it and coming together and talking in particular. I mean, there's been a lot of focus on Pauline Hanson's anti-worker policies. Trades Hall has kind of initiated a good campaign against One Nation on that basis. But it's left the question of One Nation's racism really silent. So this forum is going to be an opportunity to talk about that racism and to talk about mobilising against it and also about trying to build a really serious alternative that mobilises consistently to confront Pauline Hanson's racist politics, not just at the ballot box but on the streets, wherever she is, wherever it kind of is open, talking about that. But I guess the other thing that this forum is going to focus on and in my view, hopefully highlight, is that when we're fighting One Nation and we're saying, stop Pauline Hanson, we can't ignore the fact that Pauline Hanson's support or rise to popularity comes from the fruits of Labor's cruel and kind of intense neoliberal and racist policies. So, you know, Labor, Albanese and state Labor, Ben Carroll, has paved the way for the kind of bitter disillusionment and normalisation of racism that Pauline Hanson is now reaping the benefits from. So I'm hoping that this forum is a chance for us to kind of unite against all of that, you know, the deep-seated racism in Australian politics that One Nation is the most obvious example of, but not the only example.
So Unite Against Racism is a coalition, isn't it, that's organising this event?
Yeah, and that's right.
So that's a good thing. But I've actually seen some very, very ugly commentary about migrants, you know, monoculture, and also on another note about how Aboriginal people are not going to be treated any differently to others, that, you know, they're not going to be getting extra money and special treatment. This is despicable, Lucy.
Yeah, it really is. And these are lies that are just kind of going unchallenged, largely, because a lot of these things are also Labor's politics. I mean, the stuff about the housing crisis, like blaming migrants for the housing crisis, there have been a few comments from some Labor politicians objecting to that and saying, you know, that actually there's a housing problem, not a migrant problem, which is true. But that housing problem is real, you know, and we need to counter both the racism and the housing crisis in order to deal with it. But the anti-Aboriginal racism, the Islamophobia, that stuff about monoculture, it is really extreme, and we need to clock it as extreme. I mean, when Pauline Hanson did her tour of the UK, meeting up with Tommy Robinson and, you know, like colluding with fascists, that is a really serious development in Australian politics, that this is an individual who is, you know, becoming more and more powerful. So we need to call out that extreme racism that she's really feeding.
Indeed, and I believe that yesterday was the anniversary of the attack on Camp Sovereignty, and there was a Rock Against Racism gig at the site yesterday.
Yeah.
At a Kingsdom, so-called King's Domain.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, and what about as a unionist? I mean, I'm pretty concerned about how, you know, there's a lot of union busting happening, a lot of dismantling.
So much. I've just spent the last 3 months, like, campaigning hard in the Australian Education Union against the crisis in our schools and to try and win a better agreement for our union off the Labor government. And, you know, so unfortunately so much of our fight had to do with breaking through the kind of business as usual union politics and scaremongering, actually, that this Labor government and unfortunately many of our union leaders wanted to sort of enforce on rank and file union members. That sort of heavy weight that sits on working class people, that, you know, this idea that we can't fight neoliberalism, that we just have to cop the crisis in our public sector, that we have to deal with, you know, the low and lowering wages, all of this sort of stuff leads to despair and the despair politics that Pauline Hanson feeds off. And I guess that's what I mean when I'm saying, like, we have to fight Labor in order to fight Pauline Hanson. We were told that if we accepted our agreement, that would be the best way, you know, this really crappy agreement, that would be the best way to fight Pauline Hanson, because then we could just shut up and, you know, support Labor, essentially riding in to the November election. And that's nonsense. You know, I think the more people just sort of acquiesce with this lowest common denominator politics and these really low horizons for working class people, the more it sends people to these desperate and actually problematic racist conclusions, that the way to fight the system is the people who are actually talking about the crisis, which shamefully, you know, the loudest voices talking about the crisis are Pauline Hanson, but her answers about why there's a crisis are completely racist and wrong. So, you know, that has led me really firmly to the conclusion that we have to be the loudest voices diagnosing the crisis that we're living in at the moment, and also saying that we, you know, from the bottom up need to be fighting it, and we need to fight the racism and the neoliberalism at the same time.
And unfortunately, there has to be a way at the moment. You know, voting is a dreadful thing at the moment, because you've got all these terrible parties on the list, including One Nation.
I know, it's true. And we've got to, you know, that's what the rally is about in October. It's saying, you know, put One Nation last, and that's absolutely what we have to do, but we can't just leave it to the ballot box. We have to be there on the streets and organising in our workplaces and fighting, you know, all of the racist policies that we're currently living under, let alone what Pauline Hanson wants to introduce. I mean, Hanson's party have conceded that actually Labor's immigration policies now don't look too different to hers, and that is an absolute shame job on the Labor government. You know, they have adopted Pauline since she pushed for temporary protection visas, you know, back in the early 2000s, Labor has gradually acquiesced to Pauline Hanson's vision, you know, of lower migration, offshore detention, temporary protection visas. You know, unfortunately, she has been setting an agenda that Labor has conceded to. And that's why fighting now, you know, with rallies, with mobilisations, with workplace actions, with everything that we've got, all of Labor's politics and all of Hanson's politics, that's what this forum and that's what that rally in October are about.
So the rally at the State Library at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 24th of October was also organised by Unite Against Racism as well.
Yep,
and
right.
It's interesting because, yes, what you're saying is true about Labor and One Nation being the same, but One Nation is worse in many ways.
So much worse. I mean, that's true. It's not. I'm not at all conflating them. But
no.
I think that we need to be really clear that absolutely she goes last on the ballot box.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
She is despicable. She does collude with Nazis. She talks Nazi talk. So there's no confusing that Pauline Hanson and her rise to popularity is a real, downward turn for Australian politics. But I guess what I'm saying is the pathway has been paved by business as usual politics that Labor is kind of committed to.
Lucy, it's been so lovely to have you on the show, and I'm happy that I was able to interview two speakers. And I'll just repeat the forum at Trades Hall at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 9th of September. And then we've got the No to Racism, Put One Nation Last, which is a rally at the State Library, isn't it, at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 24th of October.
That's right. Yep. Thanks so much, Marissa. I hope to see lots of your listeners at both of those events.
Thanks a lot. And listen back because we'll be recording as well. Thanks a lot, Lucy.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. And that was Lucy Honan. And she's going to be a speaker at the upcoming September event. Lucy is the Australian Education Union State Councillor, member of the Rank and File Group, Fight the Crisis, and Solidarity Activist.
Keffiyehs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white keffiyeh to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to keffiyehs.org.au. That's keffiyehs.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Women on the Line, a radical intersectional current affairs program.
Making space for the voices of women and gender diverse people.
Featuring in-depth conversations with guests from So Called Australia and beyond. ultimately we're looking to care for country, to continue our culture, to continue our ceremonies, so that our children have a strong sense of self and belonging.
Just because our marginalization intersect where we're both disabled, it doesn't change your white privilege. It doesn't change your straight privilege. It doesn't change your able-bodied privilege.
Sex work, the word itself, has been such a word with a lot of stigma. However, we cannot ignore that there are women out there who are making their livelihood out of this job.
Listen every Monday morning at 8:30 on 3CR Community Radio 855 AM or stream live on 3cr.org.au.
Love podcasts? We've got you. Find Women on the Line via the Community Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Women on the Line, where about?
Feminisms in their multitudes.
First Nations sovereignty.
Land back.
Trans liberation. Poo-poo on the turfs.
Abolition.
Anti-racism.
Sex worker rights.
South liberation.
Disability justice.
Anti-imperialism.
Decolonisation.
An end to borders.
Workers' justice.
And so much more.
Women on the Line, broadcasting on the 3CR airwaves since 1986.
And you're tuned into the Do and Time show, and it's 3CR Community Radio. The Human Rights Law Centre opposes the Cook government's moves to enact some of the most restrictive anti-protest laws in Australia and has written to the Western Australian Attorney General, Dr. Tony Butti, MLA, to raise constitutional issues. The laws are also at odds with Australia's international human rights law obligations, which require that laws limiting the rights to peaceful assembly and freedom of expression be justified and proportionate. My next interview is with Rohan Simpson, who is a senior lawyer in the Democratic Freedoms Team, working primarily on protest rights. Prior to joining the Human Rights Law Centre, Rohan worked as a senior lawyer at the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency, where he supervised the Police and Prison Accountability Team. I'd like to warmly welcome Rohan to the program. Hi, Rohan. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Hi, Marisa. Thanks very much for having me.
Awesome. Now, what an absolute atrocity to have this anti-protest law happening. Are you able to start off the show by talking about the government's bills and how they raise constitutional concerns?
Yeah. So it's really concerning that the Cook government in WA is creating some of the most restrictive anti-protest laws in the country, and we're really concerned about two bills that are before WA Parliament at the moment. The first is directed towards a specific event, the Land Forces Expo, that's happening in October, which is an international weapons expo, one of the largest weapons expos in the Southern Hemisphere. And that bill would give police extra powers in the area immediately surrounding that event, essentially allowing them to conduct searches without cause, set up checkpoints, confiscate items and demand to see identity documents. The second bill that we're concerned about is the public order bill. That one's also not yet passed, but is a bit more broad-ranging and proposes to expand the police's power to refuse a protest permit where police are concerned that the protest might cause animosity or harassment against a particular group. It also creates quite a broad offence for wearing a face covering where that might intimidate someone. We're concerned that these laws might be misused and that they give powers to police that really incite violence between protesters and police rather than resolve it. We're concerned about the constitutionality of them as well, because the High Court found that laws that burden political communication need to be proportionate and reasonable and necessary. And we think that these laws aren't any of those things. And that's why we expressed our concerns to the Attorney General.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me as though police have got, would have really extraordinary powers to use against protesters.
Yeah, that's right. And police already have extraordinary powers. You know, all the time we see governments around Australia giving extra powers to police. And these bills, especially the first bill, is an example of police asking for extra powers and government giving it to them just in relation to a particular area. Another example is in New South Wales, where we saw that the police were given extra powers following the Bondi event around the Herzog protest and protests after that. Those laws were eventually found to be unconstitutional in the New South Wales Court of Appeal. So we're trying to warn WA against going down the same path that other states have tried to.
Thank you for specifying about the bills. It's really important that listeners are aware of what these bills are. And in fact, so there's one bill in regards to the area around the land conference, but then there's another bill too, isn't there?
Yeah. So the other bill is the public order bill. And look, that bill is concerning because the powers it gives to the police commissioner to deny a protest permit are really broad and vague, and they relate to what the protesters are going to say or do and how those messages are going to be received by other people. We know that police have certain biases, and we're concerned that police are going to use those powers in a discriminatory way to target protesters who are supporting First Nations people or pro-Palestine protesters, and they'll suppress certain types of speech, but not others.
Which leads me to my next question, and I was wondering if you could just speak in a bit in more detail. How would these powers impact on vulnerable and marginalised communities?
Yeah, so I think there's really two ways. The first is that people protesting are often vulnerable themselves. Most protests are in support of people who are vulnerable or marginalised, whether they be First Nations people. When you have police with heavy powers, heavy weapons, and at least in the case of the Land Expo, police are going to be flown into state in order to meet the staffing requirements of police for policing that event. And we think that police are going to want to use these powers so that they can justify them being introduced the next time. And that's also what we saw with the protests in New South Wales when the Israeli president came to visit. And we see time and time again that when you give police extra powers and heavy weaponry, it actually can incite conflict between protesters and police.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to your earlier point, you know, they already have those police powers. And I have seen in the time that I have been at the radio station and doing the show, and this is primarily a prison show, that the sentences are getting longer and longer with protesters, peaceful protesting, and I have found that there has been a real escalation in police tactics and brutality. What's going to happen if these bills come through?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're concerned, and just to bring it back to this show, which is about people who are in prison. A lot of the techniques that we see police using against protesters are tried out on prisoners first, and that's things like using tear gas and using electric shock devices. We often see this kind of weaponry and tactics used against prisoners first, and now these powers are being given to police to use them against protesters as well. So it's really an escalation in the kind of police violence that we see. And that's something that's been rising over the past 5 years even.
So these bills have not passed before Parliament at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, so I think they've both passed the Legislative Assembly, and we're expecting, at least in relation to the Land Forces Bill, that it'll be passed probably this week. Sophie McNeill from the Greens is a legislative councillor in WA, and she's been doing some great work with us pushing against these bills, but it's really just the Greens. A lot of these anti-protest laws have bipartisan support.
Indeed. And basically the power would be included to set up checkpoints, conduct searches without cause, confiscate items associated with peaceful protest, and demand identity documents.
Yeah, that's right. And these are really extreme powers. And in addition to them deterring protesters from turning up at all, because, you know, if you're a protester and you think there's a risk of you getting searched, even when you haven't done anything wrong, and then possibly arrested, that's a really scary thing. And, you know, anti-war protesters, they're not violent. They're often just families or normal people who don't agree with Australia becoming a world leader in weapons manufacturing, which is what the WA government and the federal government are moving towards. So to have these powers, you know, exercised on really normal anti-war protesters is completely disproportionate.
Very disproportionate. You would have heard about the convergence of Pine Gap recently as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's so many different kinds of groups in Australia that disagree with the Australian government's engagement in foreign wars and support for foreign wars. And laws like these really suppress the community's ability to communicate that to the government.
Absolutely. Also, just a quick question in regards to, and very, very brief, because I know you no longer work there anymore, but going back to your earlier point about prison, you know, and how, you know, tactics are tried first there. I imagine that your work at the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency, that's in Northern Territory, isn't it? You would have been well placed to, you know, to look at that as you were supervising, weren't you, the police and prison accountability team?
Yeah, definitely. A large bit of my work as a lawyer at NAJA, the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency, involved advocating on behalf of people who had been the subject of brutality in prison and by police. But a lot of the kinds of techniques that are used at protests and are used in prisons as well. You know, things like tasers and during riots, tear gas is often used at protests. In prison.
Absolutely. And of particular concern, like on this show, we do a lot of work about, you know, stopping strip searching. And I imagine that, you know, members of the community or protesters could be subjected to that.
Yeah. Well, the powers are really broad, and we don't know exactly how they're going to be used. And it's also the kind of thing where, sure, even if police say, oh, we're not going to be strip searching people this time, we'll just be doing, you know, pat-down searches, we don't know what's going to happen next time, or we don't know what's going to happen if a different kind of government comes into power and has these kinds of powers accessible to them. You know, One Nation just won a by-election in WA. Could you imagine a One Nation government with powers like this? How would they use them? How would a One Nation government instruct the police to use these powers? So it's a bit of a slippery slope kind of thing. Sure, these powers might seem necessary or needed now, but we just don't know how they're going to be used in the future.
Indeed, and earlier on in the show, I was speaking with a number of people from Unite Against Racism who've organised an event to build the momentum to stop One Nation at Trades Hall. And so it's interesting you should mention that. Can you imagine how they would be used, those powers?
Yeah. It's really horrifying to think. And I think when you have these periods of crisis, like we've had after the Bondi massacre, where governments feel like they need to do something, these kind of things aren't really thought through. And the thing about democratic freedoms and freedom of speech is that once these freedoms are taken away, you never get them back. You know, you're never going to get a government that that tries to give protesters more rights. It's a very rare thing. So we've really got to fight to keep what we have.
And not only that, I mean, you're referring to face coverings, Rohan, and, you know, you've got people that are very immune compromised. We've had a pandemic. We've got, you know, the bird flu. We've got so much disease now. That's actually a health hazard, isn't it, to make people not wear a mask?
Yeah, that's right. So the WA offence, the WA legislation actually makes it an offence to wear face coverings where a police officer thinks that it might intimidate someone or cause someone to feel apprehension. And there's lots of really good reasons that people might wear face coverings, whether that be religious reasons or medical reasons. And there are some exemptions in the laws for those kind of reasons. But if someone doesn't know about those exemptions, or if someone's a bit scared of getting arrested, they might not wear one at all. The other thing about face coverings that we're concerned about is in WA, they're piloting a facial recognition program by the WA police, where they set up a camera and scan everyone that walks past it and see whether there's a warrant out for their arrest or whether they are on a list of people that are known to present a risk to the community. And that's really invasive. And there's a lot of reasons why people might not want to be subject to that kind of facial recognition technology, whether it's by police or by other organisations like Bunnings or Coles, who are all trying to or have already started using facial recognition technology.
Absolutely. And it's been so lovely to have you on the show, Rohan. But just one last question in relation to the Centre's letter to the Attorney General. Where can listeners find that, and what can members of the community do?
So the letter was actually tabled in Parliament by Sophie McNeill. So it's available on the WA Legislative Council's website. You can also look at our media release on the Human Rights Law Centre's website, and you can engage by contacting the WA Attorney General's office, letting them know that you're not happy with this kind of legislation, and that you're really concerned about your right to protest and how legislation like this takes it away.
This really is about criminalising dissent, isn't it?
Yeah. And dissent is such an important part of our democracy. It's how we communicate to the government when we don't think that they're doing the right thing. So any kind of laws that limit our ability to dissent are really concerning. And that applies to whatever your political belief is, you know, whether you're on the right or the left, your ability to protest and to dissent is really important.
I'm hoping that we're not going to be going towards Trump-like anti-protest laws here. I'm not sure whether
didn't want to mention the T word, but you can imagine what Trump would do if he had powers like this. In America, they've got a really strong free speech right, which we don't have in Australia. So he doesn't have these kind of laws available to him, but you can imagine what Trump would do with laws like this.
Can you imagine? Before you go as well, I'm not sure if you saw it, but there's a great show called Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and I was listening to it the other day, and there was like people being sentenced to 50 years in prison because they're terrorists, just because they had they were at an anti-fascist protest in America.
It's really concerning, and it's something that's not just in Australia. It's all around the world.
It's 4:49, and you're listening to an interview with Rohan Simpson, senior lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre. So, do you have any concluding comments before you go, Rohan?
I want people to understand that these laws, your right to protest is really important, and that any law that takes away needs to be considered really carefully. And if you're not happy with it, you need to contact your local MP or the Attorney General and express that, because the people in power need to know that communities care about their right to protest and their right to talk about political things, so that they can respond accordingly.
Exactly, because you could have really a permit system, or it could be that people will not be allowed to gather or to assemble.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, Rohan. It's been lovely to have you.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And you just heard an interview with Rohan Simpson, senior lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre. And the Human Rights Law Centre opposes the Cook government's moves to enact some of the most restrictive anti-protest laws in Australia, and has written to the Western Australian Attorney General, Dr. Tony Butti, MLA, to raise constitutional issues. The laws are also at odds with Australia's international human rights law obligations, which require that laws limiting the rights to peaceful assembly and freedom of expression be justified and proportionate.
One Nation is hoping to break through in the Victorian election. Anti-racists are out to stop them. Unite Against Racism has called a public forum at Trades Hall in Carlton, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 9th of September. Be there to hear great speakers and get involved. Unite Against Racism is initiated by the Refugee Action Collective, a 3CR supporter.
Every day, people in prisons across Australia are subjected to strip searching. It is an unnecessary, degrading, and deeply harmful practice that must end. It involves a person literally being stripped of their dignity, forced to remove their clothing for their bodies to be inspected by prison guards, being forced to submit to humiliating requests like bending, squatting, and spreading their legs. In many prisons, people are subjected to this repeatedly and routinely. Children as young as 10 years old are being forced to remove their clothes and have their bodies inspected by adults. We're calling on the federal government to stop state-sanctioned violence by ending the routine, unregulated use of strip searching in prisons across Australia. Go to endstripsearching.com. Together, we can demand a system that upholds dignity, safety, and human rights. Fig Jam is a 3CR supporter.
The new Climate Action radio show will surprise you.
Well, first of all, I'm not a believer in global warming. I'm not a believer in man-made global warming.
And so you'll hear voices from all around Australia and overseas that are taking all types of climate action, whether it's stopping coal and gas, whether it's building a new model of society, or whether it's just sustaining you in the grief you may feel about the climate destruction we're facing. And in that spirit, here's a poem by Rumi. Stop, take a breath, for you are drunk, and we are at the edge of the roof.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It's coal. It's coal. It's coal.
Tune in every Monday at 5 p.m. to hear the Climate Action Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Cam Smith from Yanar Pasaran.
I'm Andy Fleming.
Andy, quick question. The commercial media,
that provides a voice to marginalised communities, doesn't it? And as governments around the world take a turn to the far right, it provides a critical anti-fascist analysis?
Cam, how many times do I have to tell you this? No, that's not the case.
Ah, that's not good. So who is doing all that?
Cam, community media, including 3CR, Melbourne's community radio.
And how can we support 3CR in doing that?
We can subscribe, Cam, at any time.
By visiting 3cr.org.au or calling the station on 9419 8377. Subscribe to 3CR.
And stay anti-fascist.
One Nation is hoping to break through in the Victorian election. Anti-racists are out to stop them. Unite Against Racism has called a public forum at Trades Hall in Carlton, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 9th of September. Be there to hear great speakers and get involved. Unite Against Racism is initiated by the Refugee Action Collective, a 3CR supporter.
And you're tuned into the Do and Time Show, 3CR Community Radio with Marissa. It's 4:55 and we're nearing the end of our show. I basically played that announcement quite a few times and it just saved me reading it out. And I really just wanted to play it for emphasis, the event about One Nation at the Forum at Trades Hall, 6:30 p.m. at on the 9th of September. Followed by a rally at the State Library at 2 p.m. on Saturday, the 24th of October, also about this as well. So, yeah, thank you to all our guests for coming onto the show, and Rathi and also Lucy and Rohan from the Human Rights Law Centre. And stay tuned every Monday from 4 to 5 for the Do and Time Show. And it's goodbye from Marissa. And please tune in next Monday. It's going to be a very special show. Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.